Wake up. How many times have these two words suddenly gotten your attention? Those words are actually a quotation of scripture found in Revelation chapter 3, the first six verses. The words wake up are also the topic for Brother David Johnson's sermon on this Words of Life program. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus and the salvation that is found only in Him. First, we present songs of praise. Please pray with me. Lord, as human beings, we get to enjoy some special times in our lives. Talking to you, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus is always special, and for this we thank you. Please use the words of this program so that all that is said will bless and challenge our listeners, Please also be with those who are working to uphold your holy name, including works of faith and local congregations. We know from the study of your word that Jesus is going to call us to be with him at your appointed time. Please help us to be ready for this great event. And thank you for listening to us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now teach us on the topic, Wake Up.
It's a privilege and a joy to look into the Word of God together. The title for the lesson is, Wake Up. And our text is from the book of Revelation in the New Testament, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Please listen to the Word of God. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. A Bible scholar, John MacArthur, writes a fitting illustration of what Jesus Christ calls this fifth church of the seven in Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. Which is Christ's major comment about it. Quote, The nearest stars to us are trillions of miles away. Those large distances have forced astronomers to come up with an appropriate measurement unit, the light year. One light year equals the distance that light, traveling at more than 186,000 miles per second travels in 1 year more than 6 trillion miles. The enormous distance to even the nearest stars presents an interesting possibility. If a star 30 light years away from the Earth exploded and died 5 years ago, we would not be able to tell by looking at it for another 25 years. Though no longer in existence, the light from that star would go on shining as if nothing had changed. That illustration perfectly sums up the situation in many churches. They shine with the reflected light of a brilliant past. Looking at them from a distance One might think nothing had changed. Yet the spiritual darkness of false teaching and sinful living has extinguished the light on the inside, though some of their reputation may still remain. Such a church was the church at Sardis. It was reputed to be alive, but the Lord Jesus Christ pronounced it to be dead. It was a church dominated by sin, unbelief, and false doctrine. The church at Sardis symbolizes the dead churches that have existed throughout history and sadly continue to exist in our own day. The appearance of light is only an illusion. End quote. Let's investigate further why Jesus pronounced the church at Sardis dead and learn not to even approach such a status ourselves in our Lord's eyes, either individually or congregationally. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1a. To the angel or messenger of the church in Sardis write, the most prominent person from the church at Sardis in church history was a Christian named Melito. He was a writer who defended Christianity, who also served as a bishop in Sardis in the 2nd century AD. In his letters, there is no mention of persecution toward the members of the church at Sardis. Perhaps this is because they were so worldly as a whole. The city of Sardis was founded about 1,200 years B.C. before Christ. It was a fabulously wealthy city. Much of its wealth came from gold found in a nearby river. Archaeologists have found hundreds of crucibles used for refining gold in the ruins of Sardis. Gold and silver coins may have been first minted in Sardis. It was also located on an important trade road, adding to its wealth. It was a center for wool production and the garment industry. Sardis even claimed to have discovered how to dye wool. Sardis was located on a hill about 1,500 feet high. Its location made the city nearly impregnable from marauders or invaders. The hill on which Sardis was built had smooth, nearly perpendicular rock walls on three sides. Its location, therefore, made its citizenry overconfident and prideful in their own devices and protection. The city's primary object of worship was the goddess Kibel, considered the mother of the gods. Additionally, hot springs near Sardis were celebrated as a place in which the gods manifested their supposed power to give life to the dead. Ironic for a city whose church was dying to dead. In the Apostle John's day, the city was still prosperous, but decaying in every way. The populace felt itself secured, satisfied, even slack. Moreover, it was sadly shallow and superficial in what really counts for eternity. A warning to all churches today. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1b. These are the words of Him who holds the seven spirits or sevenfold spirit of God and the seven stars. Of course, this is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Holds the seven spirits refers to Christ in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, who is the perfect evaluator of all churches. The seven stars, according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, are the angels or messengers of the seven churches. Jesus Christ holds them all in His power, in His authority and judgment. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1c. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. The implication is that the church at Sardis's deeds are not godly, not for the glory of God. Outwardly, they have a reputation for spiritual life, but in fact, they are spiritually dead as a whole. And Jesus never, ever makes mistakes in evaluation of people, of churches. Imagine the disaster of being called dead by the Lord God. A terrible rebuke. We must all beware of spiritual deadness and laxness. Corporately, it can describe a local church, individually deadly. How exactly can a church be dead, whether in the first century or the 21st century? Certainly, the lack of genuine faith in God. Being devoid of any fervor of the faith. A church can be defiled by the world, even its membership made up of unredeemed people playing church, just as a social club only. Spiritual deadness in the New Testament is always connected with its cause, sin. For example, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, referring to the church at Ephesus, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." The remedy is as revealed in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins." Of course, our part is to humble ourselves in confession and repentance of sin. Evidently, a few in the church at Sardis were not hopelessly dead yet. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2, "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God." Jesus exclaimed, "Wake up, get out of your slumbering sin. Do what is right and pleasing to God." A spiritual slump can be reversed. Individuals and even dead churches can be regenerated, made alive, also revived from their drifting to death. Renewal and rededication to the Lord and to His ways is possible upon genuine faith and genuine repentance, which means to turn, to change, to leave the sin and turn or return to the Savior. Notice also that Christ ties deeds to evidence of their being alive, of being faithful. We are saved by God's grace, His undeserved favor, and it's through genuine faith. Yet faith that saves proves itself, verifies itself by our deeds, our lifestyle, pleasing to God in a pattern of obedience and godly deeds. And when we mess up, we fess up and ask God to forgive us genuinely from our hearts. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3a. "Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. Remember the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through whom we are made alive spiritually. Obey the gospel, from baptism by immersion to honoring God with our lives morally and according to His teachings. And when we sin and confess and repent, turn from our sin back to our Savior in full fellowship with Him, that's the obedient life that God calls us to have. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3b, which says in part, "But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief." Not meaning here to steal, but like a thief, unexpectedly, to chasten, to discipline, to rebuke and correct, to ultimately judge and punish the unrepentant and the dead spiritually. So all are forewarned, but yet God's deepest desire is restoration. Even in dead churches, there can sometimes be a righteous remnant of true believers. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. "Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy." In the original Greek words, "not soiled" means not smeared, not stained, not polluted. Clothes here is figurative imagery for character. A few, in spite of being in a dead church, were still godly, not defiled by the pagan city around them, nor even the spiritually dead in their church. Using the same imagery, dressed in white refers to true Christians who were alive spiritually in purity and doctrine, in the faith once given unto the church. Then Christ directs His message to the church at large, including us wherever we might be, or the church that we need to belong to once we receive Christ. By saving faith, we are automatically added to God's church, to the church of Christ at large, the universal church. And yet we must join a local congregation, and that congregation should be a Christ-honoring, Bible-believing church. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. "He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." To be saved, our part is to be overcomers with God's help, to overcome our flesh that desires to sin, to overcome the world that constantly allures us, to overcome Satan and his fiery darts, his snares, his temptations. We can be victorious overcomers in Christ Jesus. Consider 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them," here, false teachers, "because the one who is in you," the Holy Spirit, "is greater than the one who is in the world," that is, Satan. May we all truly be overcomers in Christ Jesus.
We have been blessed by listening to a message from God's Word. If you are already a Christian, we pray that God will bless you in a life of service for Him, leading others to Jesus. If Jesus is not yet your Savior and Lord, please give full consideration to this need. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, we invite you to write to us with related thoughts and questions. To receive a free CD of this and last week's program, ask for CD 1946. That's 1946. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing the